This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2017-2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Player.fm, Google Play Music, all those places that you listen to podcasts. What a week it has been so far. It is only July 3rd, but plenty of stuff going on in Caps World. First and foremost, happy Canada Day. Hope everybody had a great Canada Day on July 1st, and we are recording this on July 3rd. So if you're here in the U.S. and you're celebrating independence, happy July 4th. And then we got to wish happy birthday to our buddy Ryan Drury. See, I told you that this was a busy week. Canada's favorite son, Ryan Drury. Joining me as always, talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing, man?
So we got plenty to talk about. We got to jump right into it. Big news. Free agency began. But before all that happened, what happened, we all saw coming. Andrei Burakovsky left D.C., left the Capitals, heading to Colorado. We were wondering why he got an offer last week. Still kind of wondering that, knowing what we know now. So Andrei Burakovsky, he's gone. I don't think anybody's really surprised by this move. I think it's going to be good for him. I think it's going to be good for the team. He thinks – GM came out and said he asked for the trade. So he wanted more minutes. The Capitals didn't think he was worth those minutes. And I think in the end, everybody's kind of happy.
Yeah, I don't think any of us were necessarily surprised by the fact that he was traded. I guess I was a little surprised by what the trade entailed. So Burakovsky went to Colorado. They got back a second and a third in 2020, as well as forward Scott Kuzmichuk, who likely will be playing in Hershey. And I think the reality is that, you know, there's a little bit of surprise in terms of what they got back for him. People thought it might have been worse. Some thought it could have been better. The reality is they got two decent draft picks for him. And it sounds like in the end, we found out it was for a guy that didn't want to be there anymore, who had asked for a trade last season, and the Caps just didn't get an offer that they were comfortable with or that they really wanted. Now they got something from Colorado that they felt would be best for the team and best for Burakovsky. It sounds like Burakovsky wants to play top 6 minutes, and he just wasn't going to be able to do that on this Caps team. And so they moved him out and got something good for him. So it's fine. I have no ill will towards the guy. I think he was a streaky player that, with the amount of money he's likely going to command, it just doesn't make sense for the Capitals to hang on to him, and it's time to move him out. Was time to move him out, I should say.
And like you said, he wants.
Wow, they have $27 million in cap space. They're not even at the cap floor yet, Colorado.
Wow, really?
That's insane.
So Burakovsky leaving, he said he wanted top 6 minutes, like we said. Let me ask you, is he a top 6 guy?
I think he can be. I just don't think he necessarily can put it up to. Or what we have seen is he can't put it all together. Like, we've seen flashes of him being a top 6 guy. We've seen that he has the skill set. But it's the, can he put it all together? And we've seen players like that before that come on and they show you these spurts of this offensive talent and the ability to play on the top 6. But they can't put it all together and do it consistently. And that's why I was, or consistently, I should say. And so that's why we've seen guys like Tomas Fleischmann in the past that had those spurts of, you're like, wow, this dude is definitely second line winger, if not first line. And then they just don't score. They go quiet for a number of weeks, if not months. And then they score a little bit again and they go quiet again. You're like, well, you know, if you could just put it all together, he'd be really good. And it just was not going to be the case, at least not, didn't seem in DC with Burakovsky. And then you look at it and you're like, I just don't see how he's going to get into the top 6 when he's behind Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Backstrom and Oshie and Wilson and Vrana. He wanted more minutes. He wanted to move on. So good luck to him in Colorado.
Yeah, the last guy you said there, Jacob Vrana, I think he is the number one reason why Andrei Burakovsky wasn't getting those top 6 minutes.
Well, hold on.
I would agree with that.
To some extent. Yes, Vrana and his skills, his play definitely knocked Burakovsky out of the top 6. But Burakovsky's lack of play also knocked him out of the top six in terms of his ability to not play the way he should be playing. And that's not saying he was playing like the wrong way. He just wasn't producing. And when you're not producing and there's another guy that is producing, you're going to lose your spot. So it was a combination of both in terms of Vrana playing well and Burakovsky just not playing well enough.
I mean, I guess I can agree with that. I don't know. I think Vrana and Burakovsky have always kind of been – there's always been competition there, and I think Vrana won that spot. And like you said, Burakovsky not playing probably didn't help him. Well, I mean, if he would have played differently than Vrana did, he wouldn't have missed those games. So Vrana – he's going to be making some nice money coming up soon. I believe he's a restricted free agent. He has one more year left. So we'll see what happens with Jakub Vrana. But he's going to need a big paycheck come this time next year. So we'll see what happens. But let's move on. Let's talk about the other guy who left town, Brett Connolly, making some bank. You really can't get mad at the guy for leaving town. He went to the Florida Panthers, who have been some big spenders recently. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Brett Connolly leaving town, he was a guy who I don't think anybody was really excited to see come to town. He was kind of a bust, almost, if you want to say that. He was drafted by who? The Tampa Bay Lightning, correct? And never really got his game going with them, was with Boston for a little bit, and he never really made a splash anywhere. And then he comes to DC, he does so well, he flourishes, and now the Caps can't afford him for being a third-line guy. I hate to see Brett Connolly leave. He's been a lot of fun to watch. He's a great talent. But, I mean, he's definitely not a bust. I think he changed everybody's mind after his couple years here in D.C.
Yeah, he came on such a cheap contract, and you kind of thought, oh, well, this is a guy they're just taking a shot on, and if it doesn't work out, not that big of a deal. And if it does work, that's great. But he turned out to be someone that really flourished with the Capitals. And I think the fact that he's gone is unfortunate, but it's kind of the reality of the situation and their cap situation. They just don't have the money to afford him. And I think the moves that they made to replace him are going to work out quite well. And we'll talk about those in a minute. But, you know, Connolly was a part of that play that ended up with Eller scoring, which was the final goal that won them a Stanley Cup. And so I think Connolly's always going to have a soft spot in the heart of Caps fans everywhere.
What is this going to do to Eller's game? Because Eller was the third line center. He's done really well in his past here with the Caps, but he's always, I mean, 9 times out of 10 paired with Brett Connolly. So now he's going to have to learn two new wingers on, I'm assuming on each side is going to be somebody that is brand new coming in. Has he shown, do you think, in the past that he's easily adaptable? Because when Nick Backstrom went down during the Stanley Cup run, Lars Eller had to move up a line or two, and he did okay, but long stretches, he kind of, you know, one or two games was fine, but if you expected him to be up on that second line longer than maybe three games, he kind of, you know, sputtered a little bit.
It's tough to say. You know, it's kind of in terms of having guys gel and making them work together. You use the off season for that. And so I'm not concerned right now. You know, I think of the little moves that they've made this off season can help to just eliminate a lot of the concerns that people may have regarding how they're going to play. I think that they've made moves that are best for the team in terms of bringing in a lot of cheaper guys because they don't have the cap space, which then gives them the flexibility to re-sign guys that they need. I think they have a solid lineup right now.
And let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the new guys that they signed. Unlike the Florida Panthers, some of the other teams, maybe Minnesota Wild, you would consider this, but the Caps made some new signings, but not household names. They said the Caps signed this player, that player, and on July 1, I was going, who? Who is this? How long have they been in the league? What's going on here? So can you tell us a little bit about some of the guys that the Caps signed? And I mean, I'm assuming that a couple of these guys are going to be getting, they're going to be splitting time between Hershey and DC. They're going to be full-time cap players.
Well, I think some of these guys that they sign are definitely going to be playing in DC. I think the biggest one is the signing of Richard Panik to a 4-year, $11 million deal, which comes out to a cap hit of 2 points. The reality is, it's only an additional 0.25 million, so it's not the end of the world. I think it's a very good signing. I think he definitely, the question was going to be once Connolly was leaving, who was gonna slide into that spot on the second line. I'm sorry, third line. And now we know who it is. And you're gonna have a line of likely, according to Isabel Kershuting at least, the projected Caps lineup of third line is Hagelin, Eller, and Ponick. So I think that's a really good line. It looks like Ponick's doesn't have quite the goal scoring that Connolly had last season. But it's not necessarily terrible. And if you look at his play with the Coyotes last year, he had 33 points in 75 games, 14 goals, 19 assists. But this was an Arizona team that wasn't necessarily as good. I think you put him on a line with Eller and Hagelin, he's going to have more opportunities to score. So I would expect that 33 points to go up. And I think his minus three is definitely not going to be as bad. So I would expect him to definitely have a higher point total. It may not be as good as Connolly, but I would assume that it's going to be pretty close. And maybe we should be surprised and it'll definitely be better. But that's the first one that I kind of was like, oh, okay, interesting. That I guess he's going to replace Connolly. There's some talk, were they going to go out and try and bring back Marcus Johansson for that spot? There's some talk about maybe putting TJ Oshie on the third line since he's had a lot of his injuries and concussions. Maybe that prolongs his career by not having quite as many minutes or just giving him an opportunity to play a little bit less or against the other opposing teams, third or fourth lines. And they went out and actually sort of fixed the fourth line. A lot of things we talked about in the after they got knocked out by Carolina was that the fourth line wasn't really, or the bottom six wasn't really producing at the extent that they would need to move on through the playoffs. And so they went out and signed two guys. First, it's Garnett. I keep reading it as Garrett. Like, I almost wonder if the parents were writing his name when he was born as Garrett and just like someone misread it as an N. And they're like, well, screw it. We'll just leave it.
Yeah, let's just go with it.
So it's Garnett Hathaway, who apparently is a bit of a goon. He played for Calgary last season, 19 points, which is not bad for a goon and a fourth liner.
That's true.
11 goals, 8 assists, 19 points, 56 penalty minutes. He no points in 5 games in the playoffs, but hopefully that gets a little better. But he was a plus 14. I think he's a solid addition to the fourth line. He's a right winger. I'm looking for his age at the moment. He was born in 91. Oh, come on. Oh, 27. Okay, so he's not, he's getting in more of the prime of his career right now. So I think that's definitely a solid move bringing him in. And then you want to go and put someone on the right side of Dallas. You put you go out and you sign Brendan, I think it's Leipzig. So they re-signed Brendan Leipzig, who is 25 and is a left winger. He's making a relatively, or if not already, cheap, where's his deal? 1 year, $700,000 cap hit. That's a great deal. Hathaway, 4 years. $6 million total, so it's only 1.5, so they're saving money and bringing in guys that hopefully can produce. Last season with L.A., he played 45 games. I'm sorry, between Vancouver and L.A., he played 45 with L.A., had 5 goals, 13 points for 18 assists. That's not bad. In 17 games with Vancouver, he had 2 goals and 3 assists for 5 points. So it's actually not terrible for a fourth liner. His plus-minus could have been a little bit better, but those Vancouver and L.A. teams weren't exactly the greatest, so it's not the end of the world. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was able to do a little bit better there. And if he does, it's a pretty cheap deal. If he doesn't work out, you likely can bring up a guy from the minors, although likely the guys you would have brought up from the minors have now left the organization. Or maybe that's opportunity for your current restricted free agent, Chandler Stephenson or Travis Boyd, to get some more minutes.
The Hathaway signing is very interesting because I didn't know anything about this guy. You look up his name on YouTube, and 9 out of the 10 things coming up at the top are fights. So I was a little worried here that this team was getting a little bit grittier and not worrying about speed, even though I think that the NHL is getting a lot faster. But Hathaway, he seems to be a fan favorite in Calgary. Everybody was kind of wishing him well on Twitter, on the Reddit page. A couple people came over to the Caps page and said they were Flames fans and said how sad they were to see him leave. So I am kind of most intrigued out of everybody that was just signed to see this guy come up, because he's been in the AHL a lot of years. He was was in the NHL full-time the last two, I believe. So, like you said, he's kind of getting to the prime of his career. And I like the fact he's kind of considered a goon, but, you know, you want that because you've got a guy like Tom Wilson on your number one as your, you know, your top line. And you got to think about he's got a target on his back, whether he does anything illegally or not during a game. Refs are going to call him for it. So you kind of need somebody to, you know, be the muscle if Tom is suspended for a long amount of time. Do you think that's something that maybe went into the GM's mind as he was getting Hathaway?
Probably. I mean, I think they're looking for a little more physicality in the lineup.
I mean, with
Tom, they definitely are going to be able to beat up every other team between Wilson, Hathaway, and Gudas.
That's very interesting. Those three guys, to sign them in the offseason.
The problem is, within a couple of games, they're all going to get suspended for half the season. So it's going to be a little more complicated when you have significantly less guys to play.
It's just very interesting that they would go with more of a grit, more of a size, a muscle, than with speed, because it seems as if the game of hockey is just getting so fast nowadays. Why do you think it is?
Well, just because you're big and hit people doesn't mean you don't have some speed.
Does Tom Wilson have speed?
Well, I'm not just talking about him. He's not like Jeff Schultz slow.
No, he's not. But do you think there's something that the GM and the entire staff kind of sees, all right, the league's getting faster, we need to get bigger, or something like that? It seems as if they're kind of going against the culture.
Well, in the playoffs, you need a team that's going to be, you know, have some speed but also has some physicality. So I kind of wonder if, you know, Ponick, what I'm reading right here is that he has a bit more of a physical game than Brett Connolly. So maybe that's why they made that move.
Okay.
The Gudas move, I think part of it was they wanted to move on from Niskanen, and I guess they kind of wanted a guy because they knew that Orpik was going to retire, and so they wanted someone big and physical and brought him in, and hopefully it turns out he was just a product of Philly and that he's not a, you know, D-back.
I mean, we'll definitely see, but it's just very interesting. I mean, you do have a guy like Carl Hagelin who's got some major wheels underneath him. We keep talking about that.
Yeah, I want to see a race at some point between Hagelin and Verana.
That would be very interesting. And poor Verana lost his fist bump buddy with Brett Connolly. That kind of sucks.
Aww.
I know, right?
No.
But, yeah, these are the three big signings here for the Capitals. No household names. So that's
Ponick I recognize.
Sort of.
And Leipzig, I've heard his name before. I don't remember why. It might have been from playing an NHL game.
Yeah, but you're not going to...
Hathaway, I had no idea.
Yeah, you're not going to look on Twitter for any of these guys and be like, oh my God, the Capitals signed him?
Yeah, but the reality is they didn't have the cap space to pull that off. I mean, they currently, if cap friendly, if I'm reading this correctly, they have about 4.285 and change in cap space. 4.285706. Yeah. So that needs to go. A significant chunk of that is going to go to Verana. And then you still have to re-sign Chandler Stephenson and Christian Juice. And that's unless you move someone else out. So that's tough in terms of.
Are either of those guys. They're not in any of the projected lineups, are they? Stephenson.
Juice is. So, like, Isabel Kristianian's projected lineup is this. You have first line Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson. Second line, Oshie, Backstrom, Vrana. Third line is Hagelin, Eller, Ponick. Fourth line is Leipzig, Dowd, Hathaway. And then you have Kempney and Carlson, Orlov and Jensen, and then Sengenthaler / Juice and Gudas. So, and obviously a lot of that is subject to change. There might be someone that comes into camp and surprises you. But I think, you know, someone asked, actually, after she posted it on Twitter, what is this? At Willa Frost with the O being a zero in Frost. I was asking if you anticipate as to whether Boyd or Stephenson will be traded or just send them through waivers. And Isabel Kristianian thought that they probably would be put on waivers, or at least one of them is going to make the team as an extra forward. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, because Boyd has another year on his deal where Stevenson's restricted free agent, maybe they trade Chandler Stephenson. And just keep Travis Boyd around as that sort of 13th forward, and he gets a game every once in a while. But they don't have a lot of cap space left, and they need to re-sign Vrana and Juice. And the thing is, the guys they brought in Hathaway's only 27. Signed him to a 4-year deal. Leipzig's 25. He's the same age as Boyd and Stevenson. Hmm. So it's not like they're like got rid of these guys and like, oh, they're so much older. Like Ponick's 28. I don't know how old Brett Connolly is. Hold on. So like, I don't think they got dramatically older by bringing in all these different guys and letting other players go.
He looks like he's in his late 30s, but I don't think
he is. So Connolly's 27 going on 50.
Right.
With his receding hairline. Sorry. It's mean, but it's kind of funny to me. And the guy that's replacing him, Ponick, is 28. So we're talking a year's difference.
Interesting.
And Ponick's cheaper at 2.75 as opposed to, I think it was 3.5 that Connolly is getting from Florida. So it's not the end of the world. It's, you know, if Leipzig comes in and replaces Boyd and Stevenson, they're the same age. So it's not like they're getting older. And then Hathaway is slightly older than those two guys, but it wasn't like the fourth line was really working last season. So I don't think it was necessarily the worst move in the world. And they had, oh, is he not on here anymore? I don't know how old Smith Pelly is.
Yeah, he's a free agent completely now. I mean, he's not.
Smith Pelly is a free agent. He is 27, and he's being replaced essentially by Hathaway, who's the same age. And who's the other guy playing on the Dmitry Yashkin?
He's still here?
No. My point, I'm trying to make the comparison. He's 26. So, like, bringing in Hathaway to replace those guys, like, oh, they got so much older and had these journeyman forwards. Like, first of all, Hathaway's not a journeyman because he's only played for Calgary and their minor league affiliates. Leipzig, he's been around a little bit. He's played with Toronto, Vegas, Vancouver. That's probably why we recognize his name. They probably played against him in the – oh, no, he didn't play in the playoffs. Never mind. Vegas, Vancouver, L.A., like, he's been around a little bit. But maybe he comes in and actually does a great job on the fourth line and they sign him to a cheap, you know, 1 or 2 year extension during the season. Or not, and they give Boyd another shot, or maybe they make a trade and bring someone else in. Or maybe that's an opportunity for someone like Axel Janssen-Fjällby, who played last season. Given he did leave Hershey, he went and played against adults in Sweden. Maybe he gets that opportunity to come up. He's a left winger. He can come up and see if he can make a claim for the fourth line.
Well, speaking of players coming up, I don't know, maybe you've noticed this trend. I've definitely noticed this trend, but it seems as if GM Brian McClellan doesn't have a lot of faith in our farm system. It seems as if he likes...
Well, wait a minute. That's not fair.
Let me finish. He likes to go out during free agency. He likes to spend big money, and he likes to bring in veteran players. I mean, he's the reason why Brooks Orpik, Matt Niskanen, TJ Oshie, Carl Hagelin, all these players that have NHL time and they've been proven, he brought all these players in. Before... with George McPhee, he wanted, you know, he liked to go to that Walmart bargain bin of $5 movies and pick out, you know, 40 movies, and then hopefully one of them works out. But we're seeing guys, kind of four players from Hershey have left this free agency: Riley Barber, Nathan Walker, Aaron Ness, and what's his name, Megna. I don't think we've ever seen him come up to the big leagues, but all four of those guys are gone now. And Riley Barber was very vocal about it before he left, saying, these guys have no plans for me. I want to go someplace I can play. I mean, he was one of the best players. I think he was the best player in Hershey last year. And why not bring him up and let him fill that role of Brett Connolly or a fourth line guy? He's already in your system. But it seems like Brian McClellan doesn't believe in the farm system. He wants those guys to play in the AHL, and you know, eventually maybe one will come up, but otherwise, you know, hit the road. It's your time is up here. So what do you think? How come we're not seeing more guys from Hershey make it up to the big leagues?
See, I don't know how much I would agree with that necessarily. It's kind of tough. Like, you kind of see it differently in other sports, where like in the NFL, you get drafted, you're pretty much going right into the lineup. Like, they don't really have a minor league, which you kind of feel like the NFL would.
They should.
Right? Like, you draft, you have a lot of guys on the roster, but I feel like a minor league in the NFL would make a lot of sense.
I mean, college is kind of their minor league now, but...
But you can't call guys up. You can't be calling up, like, University of Maryland and be like, hey, we need a linebacker. How's this guy doing? You know, it kind of makes sense. You could get into smaller markets. Maybe that's kind of harder because the smaller markets have college teams, which they're more attached to, but not affiliated with.
Let me. This is going to sound crazy, but I think it would be brilliant for the NFL to start European leagues
and had that dude.
And send no, no. Listen, NFL backed leagues of practice squad players. Like, they want to expand over to Europe and England and all these different places. That's why they have games over there. But if you take practice squad guys that aren't really doing anything and put them over there as kind of like a farm league to keep them busy, and you've still got that NFL brand on it, I think that would be big bucks.
I mean, they had that European league years ago, and it went out of business. They had teams, I know they had like Germany, I think England somewhere.
Yeah, but now with France. Streaming and having worldwide availability with the internet and apps and ways to view
things. And maybe it becomes bigger. I wonder if the cost would be worth it in terms of having it be a minor league, because it's less likely you might get.
I think it'd be better than doing minor leagues over here.
Well, I don't know, because are you going to get – we've completely gotten off topic.
That's true.
This podcast is actually about. But I don't know if that would work, because you – I think the thing that makes it a draw is they have named teams, or maybe not Jacksonville, but named some of the big name players that might go over there, and that draws fans, as opposed to a market that isn't really at, the NFL's not as popular. And now you're sitting in scrubs, more or less. It's just not really going to work the same way. But anyways, back to hockey.
That's what we're here to talk about.
What the hell are we saying? Oh, so like, I think he has brought in some guys from the minors. I think Burakovsky was a guy from the minors that they tried. It just wasn't working.
That wasn't Brian McClellan, though, right?
That was still George McClellan. That drafted McCree. Him or brought him up?
Either.
I want to say that was McClellan.
I thought that was George McPhee.
How long was Burakovsky? Either way. But Vrana was playing down there in the minors.
Sure.
Singenthaler was playing in the minors. Juice was playing in the minors. Orlov at one point may have been playing in the minors, but that might have been more McPhee.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What's his name? Madison Bowie, Phoenix Copley, Braden Holtby, Jay Beagle. Although he came up, I think, before him.
Braden Holtby. I mean, he was.
No, but my point is, like, these are guys that have played in the minors that came up. And you look at guys like Travis Boyd and Chandler Stephenson. And the question more becomes, I think, it's not, are these guys that didn't work in the minors? Or are these guys, I mean, it came up out of the minors and didn't work? Or is it a system that doesn't necessarily want to bring guys up? And I think it's more, are they drafting guys that are being able to make it in the NHL? You know, you've drafted guys, you've brought them up. I mean, if you look at guys that have come up during, I think, McClellan's tenure, in Vrana, Stevenson, and Dowd, Boyd, you've got three guys that came up, but only one of them has really made a lasting impression on this team. And then you look at a guy like Singenthaler and a guy like Juice. Those guys have come up and done really well. Juice did struggle last season. He had an injury, a bit of a sophomore slump, and I expect him to rebound from that this season. But these are guys that are younger that they've given an opportunity to that have come to quote-unquote their system. But I also feel like in the NHL, to some extent, you see that a little bit less because, at least with the star guys, because usually if they're that good, they get drafted high, and then they're either finishing up where they were in the minors – or juniors, I should say, and then going right to the NHL – or they get drafted high enough that they just go right to the NHL. It's not kind of like baseball or – actually, maybe baseball is really the only system where you draft a guy and then you likely don't see him for a few years. Like, you're either going right into it or you're sticking with your junior program until it's time to go in.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't know. This trend of bringing in all these veteran players and NHLers and not – staying within your own system. I don't know if I like that or not, but hey, you know, Brian McClellan won a Stanley Cup. Who am I to question his way of
doing
things?
How dare you?
But I don't like seeing Riley Barber and Nathan Walker head out the door. Nathan Walker at least had a little taste of the NHL, but he was not here long term. Riley Barber, I think, was up for a game and didn't even dress. He was a guy, though, that they drafted. I mean, he was in the system for so many years, and just to see that talent walk out the door doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm kind of intrigued to see what happens to him in Montreal. I think he signed a two-way contract, so it's not a guarantee he will be a Montreal Canadien. He might be playing in the AHL against the Hershey Bears, but we'll see down the road. But big thing that we got to talk about this week, of course, Sergei Bobrovsky made some big money going to the Florida Panthers. $70 million contract for 7 years. This guy is making $10 million a year playing in Florida for the Panthers. This is not good if you are a Braden Holtby fan.
It's good if you're Braden Holtby.
It is very good if you're Braden Holtby and you like Starbucks and listen to Nirvana all day. But Bobrovsky has won one, count them, one playoff series. One playoff series, and the Florida Panthers are saying, this is our guy. He's going to make $70 million. Now, Braden Holtby's contract is up the end of this season. He won a Stanley Cup. He proved he was a number one goaltender, even though he didn't start the playoffs as the number one goaltender. Coach Stan, what is going to happen to this team? What's going to happen to Braden Holtby? I don't see him being a Capital this time next year.
I don't know about that. My question is, will Holtby give them a bit of a discount to stick around? And then what happens with the Seattle deal? So it's interesting. A lot of it will depend on, I mean, they don't have a lot of money coming off the books after next season. So either the cap goes up a lot or they're screwed between Holtby and Backstrom.
And Ovi after that.
One thing at a time, dude. Because it's going to have to go up. Well, actually, at the moment, it says they have a projected cap space of 22. Oh, that's because Holtby's deal and Backstrom's deals are coming off the books. So, and good. So, saying they have a projected cap space of $22 million next season, but a lot of that's going to be eaten up by, obviously, Holtby and Backstrom. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think it'll do a lot of it. To some extent, will depend on Samsonov and how he does in the minors. And if he has another outstanding season, does he get... You know, if Copley or Holtby go down for a couple of games, does he get a call up and a chance to play in the NHL so they have an opportunity to actually see how he's playing and whether he really is the guy, and can they rely on him potentially next season to be their go-to guy if Holtby's either priced himself out or is playing in Washington State. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how Holtby's season goes. I still don't necessarily expect them to sign him to a new deal this offseason. And I would say the same thing necessarily with Backstrom. But I think between the two, Backstrom might be the one they would be more likely to re-sign during the offseason. But all of this is contingent, I think, first upon Vrana being re-signed.
Vrana, absolutely. That kid's your future. But Braden Holtby, I mean, he must have been so happy seeing this Bobrovsky deal. I mean, just dollar signs everywhere.
Well, either he was, I'm sure his agent was.
Well, if you remember when we had contract negotiations with Braden Holtby last time, his agent went to arbitration with the Capitals. I mean, this was not an easy thing to come to. It was about years. It was about money. So this guy's a fighter. You know, the first thing he's going to say when they sit down at the table is, this kid won you a Stanley Cup. The other guy made $10 million and hasn't won diddly. So what are you going to do from a boy? So... Braden Holtby is in a sweet spot right now. Capital fans, if you have a Holtby jersey, I don't know, you might be buying a new one after next season. We'll see.
That's one of those you could definitely wear even if he's gone.
Maybe frame it, put it on your wall. That's what you might be able to do with it. But like you said, we've got Samsonov off in the waiting room, and they also re-signed Vitek Vanacek to 3 years. So there's a lot of goalie controversy to come. Let's say that. I don't think Phoenix Copley is your guy going forward full time, but I don't know. This is very scary if you're a Braden Holtby fan. I don't know how you re-sign him and Backstrom and Vrana and Ovechkin all within the span of 2 years. I don't know how you do that. And unfortunately, I think Seattle is going to need a big-time player, a big name to get butts in the seats for their games. And we saw what happened with Vegas taking Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, he was the big name. He was the big get for them. Braden Holtby coming with a Stanley Cup and a ring on his finger. I mean, that's a big draw.
No, it definitely would be. And if I'm Seattle, I'm definitely tempted. I'm also looking at it in terms of what's the cap pick going to be and how much am I going to have to spend on this guy that I want to bring in. So it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do. Because they also, I mean, you know, does Holtby want to give them a discount because he wants to stay in D.C.? And then they have this kid, you know, like I said, in the minors. So, you know, the cap's going to make a trade with Seattle so that they – definitely take Holpe? Do they take a trade with if they feel Samsonov is their guy? Do they make a trade with Seattle to protect Holpe? And then how do they find that cap space?
I think Holpe seems pretty happy here in DC. I mean, he's got his family here. I think he likes the area. I think he's just on a personal level. I've never been to Seattle, but I can't imagine Seattle being, you know, the place that he would enjoy. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It seems like DC is more his speed. Let me just put it that way. But hey, we'll see what happens down the road. I really hope I'm wrong. Longtime listener of the show, Phil, was telling me that I was being overdramatic on Facebook, but I don't agree. I think we'll see what happens. But you want to go over some of the other trades that have happened in the NHL? Anything big, or did we miss anything in Caps world?
I think the Caps signed a couple other guys. Philippe Mallet, 2 years, $700,000 cap hit. That's a signing for the Miners. They re-signed Mike Scarbosa, 2 years, $700,000, another signing for Hershey. Do we talk about Nick Dowd coming back? 3 years. I can't remember if we did this last time. 3 years, 2.25 total. So a cap hit of $750,000. That's fantastic for a fourth line center. That was back on April 11th. So we probably did talk about that a while ago.
A while ago.
I'm just looking at this thing. Let's go through a couple of the big moves that have happened. I'm just going to scroll real quick through. It's going in reverse order. So Peter Mrazek signed as an unrestricted free agent with Carolina. Didn't he get traded there first? No, that was James Reimer went from Florida to Carolina for Scott Darling, the goalie Scott Darling, and a 2026 round pick. Other notable, Robin Lehner signed with the Blackhawks on a one-year deal at $5 million. And then Semyon Varlamov went to the Islanders. He's joining up with Barry Trotz.
Really?
4 years, $20 million, cap hit of five.
I missed that completely.
Anders Lee, I think he re-signed with the Islanders. 7 years, $49 million, $7 million cap hit. The Penguins actually made a pretty big trade, sending, where did it go? Phil Kessel, Dane Burks, and a fourth-round pick in 2021 for forward Alex Galchenyuk and defenseman Pierre Olivier. I feel like there's too many I's in this guy's first name. So Phil Kessel, after saying he didn't want to go to Minnesota, is off to Arizona. So I guess he just doesn't like cold weather. I'm not really sure. Who else was big? Jim Calvin Pickard, goalie. No, that's one's not interesting.
Is Marcus Johansson still sitting out there?
He is still sitting out there. Wayne Simmonds actually went to the Devils, 1 year, $5 million. Hmm. That one was a bit surprising. I definitely did not see that.
He probably doesn't even have to move.
Right. Devils are going to be good. You got to watch out for them. Who else was a big one? Scroll. Curtis McElhinney went to Tampa, 2 years, $1.3 million cap it. Alex Chiasson, your boy, staying in Edmonton, 2 years, $2.15 million. Good for him.
That's a bummer.
He wouldn't have done jack in DC. Gustav Nyquist, besides hanging out with Obi. Gustav Nyquist went to Columbus, who is going to be worse next season. We'll get to them in a minute. 4 years, $22 million, $5.5 million cap it. Valtteri Filppula went to Detroit, 2 years, $6 million cap it. Wait, that doesn't make sense. 2 years, $3 million total, $6 million cap it. That's not right. TSN, you have a typo in here somewhere. I think it's supposed to be the other way around. 2 years, $6 million, probably $3 million cap it, because that did not make sense. Where are the other fun ones? The Penguins overpaid for Brandon Tanev, 6 years, $21 million, $3.5 million cap hit. One of the big ones, Artemi Panarin, the biggest free agent, you might say, went to the Rangers, 7 years, $81.5 million. That's a cap hit of $11.642 million.
And that means he took less to go there than the projected Islanders, who were offering him 12.
Which is kind of weird, because he got more. He would have gotten a little bit more money, but then you're also like, I get to live in New York. So
Islanders also are in New York.
No, dude, it's the Islanders.
Still, like, they're still
Brooklyn.
New York.
In New York City. Brooklyn, which I know the Islanders are there, but they're also kind of like go off to Long Island. We don't really know what's going on with the Barclays Center in them, so it's kind of awkward. And maybe he just wanted to be a New York Ranger. Joe Pavelski's going to Dallas, 3 years, $21 million, $7 million cap hit. Matt Duchene went to Nashville, leaving Columbus. He went 7 years, $56 million total, $8 million cap hit to go to Nashville when they moved out PK Subban, sending him to New Jersey, which was kind of the whole plan they had there. Luke Shen signed a one-year deal with Tampa Bay. Corey Perry, who was cut loose by Anaheim, he went to Dallas, 1 year, $1.5 million. Tyler Myers signed with Vancouver, 5 years, $30 million, $6 million cap hit. Cam Talbot went to Calgary, 1 year, $2.75 million cap hit. Jason Spezza went to Toronto, 1 year, $700,000 cap hit. And then I think that was all of the big ones for free agency so far. So still a bunch of names are still out there. And then in regards to trades, as I quickly scroll back through, the biggest one I feel like originally was the Kessel. It might still be that be the biggest trade. But then you had James Reimer, as I mentioned, going to Carolina from Florida. The Canadians sent Andrew Shaw and a seventh-round pick in 2021 to the Blackhawks for a 2020 second-round pick, seventh-round pick, and a 2021 third-round pick. Toronto sent defenseman Nikita Zaitsev, forward Connor Brown, and forward Michael Carson to Ottawa for defenseman Cody Ceci, defenseman Ben Harper. Forward, isn't that the name of a musician? Ben Harper. Anyways,
Ben Harper.
Forward Aaron. Am I right?
Ben Harper's. Yeah, he's. Yeah.
I think this guy spells it as Harper. H A R P U R.
Oh, that's different.
Harper. Forward Aaron LeChuck and a 2020 third round pick. The Rangers sent forward Jimmy Vesey, who wasn't he originally drafted? They sent him to Buffalo. Wasn't he originally drafted by Buffalo?
That I don't know.
I'm looking this up real quick. Oh, no, he was drafted by Nashville. Sorry. So they sent Jimmy Vesey to Buffalo for a 2021 third-round pick. And then here's a pretty big one. Colorado sent Tyson Berry, Alex Kerfoot, and a 2026 round pick to Toronto for Nazem Kadri, Callie Rosen, and a 2020 third-round pick. Those are some of the biggest signings and trades so far this offseason. Top free agents, according to TSN, that are still – TSN, I should say, are still available. You have Marcus Johansson, formerly of Boston. He coming off 30 points in 58 games. Though, wasn't he injured for a while? But he had a pretty good postseason with Boston. Jake Gardner from Toronto. Ben Hutton from Vancouver. Michael Ferland from Carolina. Ryan Dzingel from Columbus. Ben – and there's a bunch of other guys going down the list. Dion Phaneuf, actually, I believe, was bought – there's a bunch of guys got bought out. Dion Phaneuf is one of them got bought out by L.A. So we'll see what happens with him, as well as all these other guys that are sitting there on the free agent market.
So the singer Ben Harper, by the way, his video Morning Yearning, directed by Heath Ledger.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, really good video. Is there anybody out there that was signed – that you were like, man, I really wish the Caps would have picked him up?
Yeah, Artemi Panarin, but we didn't have the cap space for it. That's never going to happen. I like what the Caps have done for the most part. You know, you kind of be like, oh, it'd be nice if like Chandler Stephenson and Travis Boyd would be the guys to step in. But the reality is they're not, and or at least they don't appear to be. And if anything, Boyd is $100,000 more expensive than Leipzig. So... you know, if they save $100,000 by playing one other guy, and if they move on from Boyd, every little bit helps when it comes to the salary cap, I guess.
I thought you were going to say Corey Perry. I really thought you wanted him as a cap.
No, he's a douche. We already have apparently enough douches on this team.
That's true. All right, well, I think that's it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
I forgot one more thing.
Go ahead.
So, you don't really see this a lot in the NHL, but Montreal signed restricted free agent Sebastian Aho to a deal, to an offer sheet. And Carolina took a day or two and were like, screw you. We are definitely going to announce and we're going to match the offer sheet. So Sebastian Aho is sticking around with the Hurricanes. I'm trying to real quick find out. Deal will pay the forward $42.27 million over 5 years. Brandon, do some quick math. was that cap hit? Let's see real quick. What did I say?
I work in TV. Why are you asking me that?
7 divided by 5. That's a cap. Holy crap. Hold on. I'm double checking. Divided by 5. Yeah. No, I definitely did it wrong that time. 42 point. I was like, it's a cap hit of 800. No, that's not right.
You know where we went to college. We can't do math.
All right. Sell that. That is a cap hit for Aho of $8.454 million. Oh, God dang it. It was written further down in the article. If I just scrolled down, I wouldn't have had to do the math. Damn it. Anyways, yeah, that's a lot of money. But anyways, continue on. Yes, let's wrap it up.
All right, so give everyone your Twitter address.
Oh, is that what I'm doing? You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff. Things actually. This is what happens when it's summer because I have, you know, I work at a camp and I get very tired and I want to go to sleep. And then I have a little one, and he makes me get up a bunch of times in the middle of the night. Although really, really just once, and then my wife does the other one, and then by that point, we're already up, because I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Aww.
So I have to be at work at 7:30, more or less. Anyways, so, you know, I'm kind of quieter in the summer months. There's not a lot to talk about regarding the Capitals, or Arsenal Football Club, and the players they're not signing, be it Kieran Tierney from Celtic, or... oh my God, I just had his name. I was about to say it, and I forgot what's his freaking name. Wilfred Zaha from Crystal Palace. Both of those deals would be nice, though we still need a central defender because Skodra Mustafi is Skodra Mustafi. So somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed our rambling and you enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out where we're posting new shows as well as other things related to the Washington Capitals. And saying goodbye to some this offseason to some players that were here, welcoming some new players, and seeing which one of these guys is going to get suspended the quickest. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed our rambling and want to find out who else do you talk to, where should they go?
You can go over to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and all the podcasts we do there. Like Coach Dan said, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod, and like us over on the Twitter, and it's the same place, at whatthepuckpod. Follow us, like us, do all those things that people do on social media, and whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. So we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. We will talk to everybody soon. Everybody, please have a very safe and happy 4th of July. Don't set off crazy fireworks and blow your own hand off. Don't do that. That's not cool. And also, don't forget, you got neighborhoods where there are lots of dogs that don't like fireworks, and they shake uncontrollably because you're freaking them out. So don't be that person. All right, so that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
I found another name I was going to call you, but I forget what it is now. It was like...
Oh, darn.
I know, right? It was like... It wasn't Rockadoodle, but it was something along that line, but... I don't remember
that
what it was.
That makes sense, man.
It was like an arcade game with chickens that you're supposed to like punch or whatever. And it was, I forget it, but never mind. But anyway.